Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, Minister for the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, attended a virtual meeting this afternoon with the EU's chief Brexit negotiator, Michel Barnier, and seven other fisheries ministers. They were being briefed on the deal that Barnier has offered the UK, which is to hand back between 15% and 18% of the value of fish stocks currently caught by EU fleets in British waters. Well, we're going to go now to Brussels to speak to Europe editor with Euronews, Shona Murray. Shona, how significant is this offer from Barnier?
It's only significant, really, Sarah, in the fact that it's the first offer from the EU to give back between 15 and 18% of the fish quota caught by EU trawlers in UK waters. But the UK wants 80% back. So if you look at there's still a very wide gulf in terms of what is required to make a deal here. Also in the offer, we're not sure exactly what species that includes, because there's over 100 species of fish to be negotiated. And really, that's not very clear. And also, we don't know. I mean, the UK wants this fish quota to be renegotiated every year. The EU says that's not possible because obviously its trawlers need clarity and security. And the EU's position also is if they're ever going to renegotiate fish, they have to renegotiate the whole deal. So this is not a harbinger for a deal at all. In fact, I think it really illustrates how far apart the sides are on the issue of fisheries.
Pretty wide gap there, 15% to 80%. And at the same time, fishing is not worth a lot economically to the UK. So what's the big deal here? Is this a political issue?
Well, it is, for sure. And it's not worth a huge amount to the EU either. I think it's about 0.1%, less than 0.1%. But when you think about it, it's also people's livelihoods. I mean, if you look at Ireland itself, I mean, fishing industry could be decimated. There are people fishermen in Killybegs who are very concerned about their future. But I think from a UK point of view, you have to look at it from a political perspective. In Scotland, a lot of the people who voted to leave were the fishing industry. And of course, Boris Johnson is under pressure about independence in Scotland. If you look at other parts of England, Grimsby, for example, very high levels of Brexiteer voting vote there. And that's because it's also related to the fishing industry. And fishing really is about the UK's interpretation of sovereignty. You know, they consistently say we're taking back our control of our laws and our borders, and we will be an independent coastal state. The EU's point is, you know, we respect that, but you obviously have to have access to the single market in order to sell your fish. 70-odd, actually, I think more than 70% of it is actually exported to the EU for manufacturing and to sell. So if they walk away without a deal over fishing, where are they going to sell their fish? Because it's not really practical to sell it to Japan or Australia, because they're very far away. And that's a whole problem, you know, of this EU-UK free trade agreement. You know, geography and proximity matters. And it's much more practical for the UK to have a close relationship with the EU than it does anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of at the core of all the negotiations, really, isn't it? Just finally then, Shona, Michel Barnier is travelling to London tonight to continue these talks. Given the opening salvo that we've heard from the EU of 15 to 18%, are there any grounds for optimism? Do you think that a deal can be done?
There has to be a deal. I think that's the only grounds for optimism, because the cost of failure is so high for both sides. I mean, speaking to UK sources today, they said that the offer from Barnier is derisory and it doesn't respect the sovereignty of the UK. But I think what has to happen, and what everybody is saying here in Brussels, is that it requires a political intervention from Boris Johnson, who has to make a decision if he's going to have a deal and how he's going to sell it. Because no matter what, no matter how slim the deal between the EU and the UK, there will have to be level playing field issues. The EU will have to know that the UK will have the same production standards on everything it exports into the single market. And that won't satisfy Brexiteers, who will see it as Brexit in name only. So it's up to Boris Johnson to cut a deal and own it, or relinquish, say no deal, and then blame it on EU intransigence and COVID. So it's a really political matter at this point, because over 95% of the deal itself is complete in terms of legal text. So it's really that 4 to 5% that's greater than the sum of its parts, and it's down to politics.
Okay, Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Thank you very much for that. Well, for more on this, John Cook has been to Rossaville Pier in Galway and joins me now. And you've been speaking to some fishermen there, John.
That's right, Sarah. Around 50 large fishing vessels operate out of Rossaville Harbour, but most of them are currently out at sea fishing for prawn. off the Porcupine Bank 150 miles away. There were a small number of trawlers at the pier today, though, refueling and restocking on food, fixing their nets before they leave again, including fishing crews I met from Howth, Kilmore Quay and Clogher Head, all making the most of calm seas and some good weather, including beautiful red and orange skies over Connemara this evening. Declan Clinton from County Louth is a skipper of a fishing vessel called the Audacious. And being from a border county, he told me about a lot of fears he has over Brexit. But I asked him how important British waters are to his livelihood.
Very important. We fish the smalls, and then, of course, some of the Irish Sea at home is in English water. So we fish there over the years quite a lot, and smalls quite a lot. Jones's Bank, Labadee, then Rock All. And so if we're put out of all those places there, it's a massive hit.
The idea of a no deal, so it's not one you can even consider, or
it's not one you really want to consider, because then we've all our other EU counterparts moving into air waters, targeting air stocks, and there's a lot of jobs at stake. All truck drivers, everything, bringing fish to the continent, processors, everything. It's massive. Like, even the pelagic sectors there, they're going to be hammered massively as well. Like, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the actual hammer out, but it's critical for, I believe, for the Scottish and for the English to get a deal as well, because like, an awful lot of their catch goes to Europe to be sold. So, like, they have to come to some agreement somewhere along the line, I believe, anyway. To me, it benefits the Scotch, benefits English, it benefits Irish, benefits anyone, because we always work together fairly well, and it flowed fairly well for us. And now we've this then, and it's just going to put barriers everywhere. People try to go to this corner, that corner, it's not going to work.
So that's Skipper Declan Clinton there from County Louth, and you can hear, John, how worried he is about the jobs that might be at stake.
Yeah, thousands of jobs, and groups, as Shona mentioned there to you, Sarah, like the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation in Donegal, suggesting in today's Irish Times that the loss of access to UK waters in a no-deal scenario could see the value of the fishing industry here drop from 1.2 billion to 6 million, risking one-third of 16,000 jobs in the sector. Another fisherman I met heading out to sea from Rossaville today was Dennis O'Flaherty from Kilmore Quay in County Wexford. Now, the family business run by him, his four brothers and four nephews, operates 20 fishing vessels, as well as their own fish wholesalers and distribution company called Salties Fish. Now, Dennis thinks the fisheries deal on the table is reasonable compared to a no-deal scenario if he was to lose access to English waters, which he said would just be a total disaster.
You know, we'd lose 20% of our fishing, but For a port like Killybegs, with the pelagic, like, they would lose up to nearly 50% of the waters, and you'd have hundreds or perhaps even thousands of jobs there lost, like, in between the vessels themselves and then the onshore activity, you know, the processing and the whole services with the fishing industry. Huge amount of people.
You're fishing off the west today with the Porcupine Bank for prawns, like lots of other fishermen, but what about English waters? How important are they to you, and where else would you fish from Kilmore Quay?
Well, when you're strategically placed in Kilmore Quay, you know, outside your door, you literally, if you go 30 miles east, you're into English waters. And when we're operating from Kilmore Quay, we would spend up to about 30%, 40% of our time in English waters. And for us to lose that, like, you know, we just see a massive reduction, like, in our family business. And, you know, the jobs ashore, that we'd have up to 30 jobs ashore packing. And then, not to talk about, again, the whole backup maintenance and services to the industry.
The talk coming out of Brussels today, or this deal put on the table by Michel Barnier, is about giving back 15 to 18% of what EU vessels are currently fishing in British waters, giving it back to the UK for this deal. What do you think of that?
Well, look, I'll be honest with you, I would feel for English fishermen as the same as Irish, because probably the two countries that would have got a bad deal out of the whole common fishery policy would be both Ireland and England, when they have the lion's share of the waters. And let's give you a little example. We're the whitefish. Ireland would have approximately 25% of the waters, and we hold 4% of the whitefish quota. Like, 4%, and then to hold 25% of the waters. Like, we just got a bad deal. And in fairness, England would not have got a good deal either, you know. Now, when the dust all settles and where this ends up, and say there was a 15% reduction, now, how is that going to be affected across the EU? That's when the real negotiation starts. Like, does Ireland reduce it? does France reduce it? Does Belgium reduce it? Is it going to be reduced by pro rata? As far as I'm concerned, I think that the whole, certainly on the whitefish sector, that the whole fish, the common fishes policy will have to be tore up and renegotiated.
God, and that will be quite some job. That's Dennis O'Flaherty from Kilmore Quay in Wexford. Who else did you meet, John?
Well, while most of the local fishing vessels in Galway are out fishing for prawns until next week, Sarah, many of them are part of the Galway and Arran Fishermen's Co-op, which sells the prawns and mackerel they catch. And they're hoping the return of restaurants before Christmas will boost their trade across Europe especially. But 60% of that mackerel is caught out of UK waters around Scotland mainly, while much of their prawn products are for the UK and Northern Ireland markets. So the co-op's general manager, Sean Griffin, told me they need a Brexit deal, and he says a 6 month to 1 year lead in time for it to take effect. He's also worried about using the UK as a land bridge to Europe, as well as fishing quotas around British waters. So I asked him for his views on this deal that's on the table.
Pro rata, more than likely. We'll have to look at the fine detail and the print on it, because we would be a significant player in taking fish out of the UK waters. So if it's, I would imagine it's at least a 15% cut on our quotas, which is a huge step, because we're normally either through conservation or looking at cuts from year to year. So on a 15% on top of that, if it is 15, it could be 20. It is very, very significant, and it will put a lot of boats to the wall, to be honest with you.
Really, that bad?
It is. There are a lot struggling. You can imagine what the year we had in all industries, probably around the world. But we're just been hanging on by our fingernails. A lot of boats we had to close this year due to obviously prawns mainly being seen as the restaurant trade as such. With restaurants closed right across Europe, we were shut down for a couple of months. So boats have suffered big time, and this cut again to come on top of it will probably put a lot of them out of business.
What's the alternative, a no-deal scenario, a crash-out? You don't want that to happen on January 1st either.
We can't have that either. I know there has to be a deal in it, but a special recognition should really be given to Ireland, given the fact that we own most of the coastal waters at the EU. And if there's a reduction, that it can be maybe taken by other countries that do not have such a significant sea land as such that we have.
And that was Sean Griffin from the Galway and Arran Fishermen's Coop, and sounds certainly like it is a very stressful and difficult time for fishermen. Thank you to John Cook for that report from Rossville Pier.